Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, you are listening to Ghostwriter Paranormal Radio in Studio B, live on blogtalkradio.com.
Dreams out here in California, and this is your host, John Almada. Good to be here. Good to be back in the seat. We've been trying to get this show back on the air, and I'm just clicking in my two co-hosts with me here. I've got those two ladies there, and good to see you all. Not a normal night for us. I had been trying since Christmas Eve of last year to have a show, and Blog Talk's gremlins, I guess, continue to be problematic, and so I am glad that the show actually worked today, and things are actually kind of firing up on all cylinders here. So we are here in Studio A. I've got to change that intro because Studio B is sort of offline right now. So Studio A is carrying the load as usual. Let's see, I'm going to just say hi to all my friends out there before I introduce my two lady guests here, my co-hosts, hostesses. We've got Breath of Terra. I've got a guest, 9904N9912. You are from France. And let's see, Nancy Mum, my co-host, my regular co-host. Sonic Tech. Sonic Tech is out there. She is an amazing, amazing ghost huntress, and many, many things that she's done. She casts them out. She collects them. She uses sonic technology to catch ghosts. We got to have her on. We got to bring her on. She's, you know, she's amazing. She's going to laugh at me. Gary's probably listening too. Anyway, Jimmy Rustler just popped in. Hi, Jimmy. Good to see you. You're a new voice out there or a new appearance. Let's see. We got Vicodan, my good buddy Vicodan. I think he lives in Oregon, and he sent me some seeds for some plants that I have just found the other day cleaning this place up in Studio A, and I'm going to go plant those things. And we got Walk with Spirit, and so a nice, normal, kind of a good start to the show. Let's see. The things that happened last week. I tried to start the show off on the 24th, the gremlins hit, and then when I kept trying to do the show, things kept interfering, and I finally ended up with the flu. And this flu, I got to tell you, ladies, this is not fun. It took it out of me, and I've known people who have been down for 3 weeks, and I started taking garlic, and I took a clove of garlic every night and knocked it out, and that seemed to be, you know, I'm still a little off, but feel the best I've felt in days, and I'm back up in enough form to read. To make my first attempt at reading tonight, if someone wants to read, yes, we will do this, you know. So anyway, but hello, my ladies.
Hello.
Hello.
We've got Nancy Mum, my regular co-host, and then Brenda Orr, my medium friend, a dear friend I've known for years, is going to be doing tag team mediumship. Remember the old wrestling shows where you would, you know, you'd watch the guys, you know, tag each other, and then the fresh one would go in and beat the hell out of the guy, and then another one would go in. We're not going to beat the hell out of the people we're reading. I'm not trying to give that impression, but we're going to, like, slap each other and say, okay, you take this one, and then we'll go back and forth reading, and we'll see how it goes. But, hey, what's going on with you two ladies? How's life been, and what's going on in the new year and everything for you?
My New Year was kind of quiet. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Nancy.
My New Year's was pretty quiet, but it was very nice. And I think I'm going to retire this year. So that's one of my plans.
Way to go.
Yeah, I'm going to retire. I think I might. If I want to work another year plus this year, then that definitely is going to be it. But, yep, I'm going to be 66 in May, and so I've been thinking about it an awful lot. And it's just amazing. My office used to be so crazy, and it used to be so difficult a couple years ago for me to work in it because of the other person in the office. I hated it. I hated coming to work. And then that person left, and then another person came in, and she is just like an angel. She's just wonderful. We just sync together. We laugh together. We laugh at the same things. We get hungry at the same time. What more can you ask for, right? So, you know, she's just a great, great person. And so so I started enjoying my job all over again. So we'll see. We'll see. You know,
well,
if I retire, I'll probably be in the last half of 2014, if it's going to be in 2014.
I see you going to, like, Hawaii or someplace tropical. Are you planning a trip?
Well, no, not right now, first of all.
I'm seeing that. There's something tropical.
That would be nice. I would love that.
I would love that.
Maui.
Yeah,
that
I have
would
to
be
get my social security card replaced, and I have to send away for my birth certificate because I never really had one. I just had thing called a notification of registration of birth or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And so to go through this process, you need to have all these other documents that say who you really, really are. So in case I'm not real enough, I have to get those papers. So, you know, the retirement thing doesn't bother me. It's just going through the process. I hate certain processes, and this is one of the few that I really detest.
Too.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to pay attention to what you're doing because, I mean, I've been, in February this year, I will be 29 years at my place of work. And, I'm at the point where, you know, I'm going to try to make 30. My father made 31 at the same company and went out in his 50s, and I'm 54. I'm going to be 55 in July. And so I'm thinking if I can get another year in, I may hopefully what they'll do is they'll come out with an early package for a bunch of us, you know, in our 50s, between 55 and 60. I might be able to go to 60, but I just don't see that I'm really going to want to do that. I'd like to, retire out and then basically start doing this kind of stuff full time and concentrate on a media career, you know, and do some of that kind of thing. And so, you know, change the whole way I work. And I love computer type stuff. I mean, I'm a technology geek all the way, but I can't see myself being in corporate America the rest of my life. I just can't. And I would like just to try something new. So I've got my retirement and, and I'm the same way. I mean, I'm just looking at things and, you know, trying to make that mental calculation. When do you do it? You know, when can you step off?
You do it when
when
it's on your mind an awful lot. Like at the end of 2013, I was thinking an awful lot about it, but usually at the end of any school year, I'm ready to go. The tension's building up, and you're going nuts, and then you get a winter break, and then you go, oh my God, I feel normal again, and then you go back in, and then you have a downhill slide to May and June, and then you can't do this again, and then you have a summer break. But I've been thinking about it a lot more before all this tension builds up, and go, Yeah, I think so. I think I've proven myself to myself anyway. So, anyway,
well, Breath of
Terra
says that you probably should go to Arizona.
I've been in Arizona.
Yeah, it's a great state. I love Arizona.
When my daughter was in college in Tucson, that's where I was visiting Arizona quite a bit. So I haven't been back since she graduated either.
I'm really seeing the need for you to be around water, though. You need to go somewhere that's by the ocean. It's a healing thing
nice.
For you. Yeah.
I'm really
seeing that really strongly.
Yeah, I have found kind of a couple of my, like, touchstones, you know, like water is very soothing to me. The sound of water is very soothing to me, even that. Meditation, when I really, really get deep, when I fly, which I love, certain things, you know, are really, you know, affecting me to the point where I really want to get way into that other realm a lot more. So, you know, that's another thing of mine. I refer to it as flying. I want to fly all the time. So we'll see how that goes.
Flying is in terms of what?
I'll send you a postcard from the ethers.
Oh, just flying all over the place, you mean?
It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like an out-of-body thing. It's kind of like astro traveling. It's kind of like I have my own planet out there. I've had it 16. And I've always been able to go into space and not knowing exactly what I'm flying around. But, I mean, I was on my little star, my little planet or whatever, and I could sit there and watch what was happening on Earth, you know, and it was really nice. It was so cool, and I just, you know, I like flying in outer space. I like just kind of like really into a very, very deep meditative state, you know, where you no longer feel be flying yet, you know. I refer to flying, but I mean, you are not aware of your body. You know, there's things I want to do with that. I want to take that to another level.
Well, do you think, I mean, have you studied meditation and, you know, taken it? You know, I mean, or are you just kind of you're naturally astral travel capable?
Well, I guess I was naturally astral travel capable because I was traveling when I was going into outer space and sitting on my star when I was like 16 years old.
Wow. That sounds like my mother. My mother had the gift of flight, and you know, that's my mom's side where all the mediums come from, and she's always been way astral, you know, into that kind of thing, and still has these experiences. And I'm a mental medium. I see and hear spirits, but you know, and she sees stuff, but she rarely gets the things I get. And she goes off on these great trips, and I'm going, wow, that's great. I mean, you don't have to go through TSA at all. You just go.
Yeah.
You know?
It's better than first class.
That's what I'm talking about, you know. I mean, you don't have to worry about fuel or anything, you know. You just have your cord, and you just go with you, you know. Well, we're getting a bunch of...
I know.
Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, speaking of flight, I've been... one of the things I've got on my list of things to do in life is go to flight school. I recently passed my ham radio exam, and I'm studying for my general exam on my ham radio, and I'll be taking that in February. But one of the other items on my list is ground school for learning to fly,
which
real
you
airplanes.
Should totally do. You
and,
really should do that,
so,
John.
Yeah, my boss owns a Chinese-made fighter trainer called CJ-6, and I got the experience of a lifetime. I got to fly in that thing in 2010, and I ended up pulling 3.4 Gs. We were doing aerobatics, and I had the time of my life. And I only threw up when we landed, so I'm pretty proud of that. We touched wheels 5 seconds, and then I rolfed. But I did not throw up in the air, and I'm very proud of that. But I pulled Gs, and I had the time of my life, and I want to learn to fly. And so... you know, I'm just kind of saying this because I inspire people. You know, our mental lives and our spiritual lives are really great, and but yet on Earth we're here for a reason, and we're here to take things that we dream about and actually turn those into reality. And then when we get there, we look and go, oh, that wasn't so hard. Let's go to the next level. And so it's, you know, but I mean, the things that you're talking about, Nancy, with astral travel, I mean, you're setting goals there too, and that's neat to see, because you're taking something that quite isn't the way you want it, and you're going to take it further. And so, you know, I think you're doing a great thing, and it will probably help people. And I see we've got more people in there. I've got Special Family Connection. Hello, Debbie. I know where you're at. And we got Emmanuel Solaris. We got Gerber Daisy is there. Hello, Gerber.
Mm-hmm.
Got some more guests. Good to see you guys. But yeah, you know, New Year. You know, New Year's resolutions. Things that are going on in life. What about you, there, Brenda, my immediate friend?
Well, I think 2014 is actually just going to be new beginnings for me. I was laid off from my job in September of last year after over 15 years of working for the same company, which it was kind of bittersweet. In a lot of ways, it was hard for me to say goodbye to the people that I really enjoyed working with, but it was a job that I was very unhappy with doing. And I probably never would have left had they not, you know, told me to leave. But it's been, I've taken some time to kind of reflect and choose the direction where I want to go. And I'm actually going to go back to school in February. And my direction right now is the medical field, because that seems to be a pretty stable area right now. And on the side, I do want to do readings and study my mediumship a little bit more, but I also have to have a regular 8-to-5 job, so I'll pursue that in a totally different direction from where I was. But and then another focus is my health. I was actually diagnosed with fibromyalgia.
Oh my God!
Right around the same time that I got laid off from my job, and that has been it's horrible. Anybody who's had it, it's absolutely horrible. You are in constant pain. So I have to really focus on, my doctor keeps saying that exercise is one of the best ways to kind of work through it. So I need to get more focused on exercise and diet and those kinds of things to kind of tame it down so it's not affecting me as much as it has been.
Well, you know what? You know the thing I've been doing. I mean, I've been I'm on week 3 right now of this fast metabolism diet, and it's actually been very easy.
And
I'm down 18 pounds. Yeah, and it's amazing. I mean, yeah, it's, you know, it's just eating real food and just eating certain types of foods during the week, and it's that simple. And I've had a couple of things. Christmas dinner was kind of a setback. I gained a half a pound because I did eat a little foods that were not on the plan, and got a half pound. And then for 3 days, I didn't lose any weight at all. And then I started losing again really quick after that. And, you know, so, I mean, yeah, give it a go, because I think you'll find it really does work, you know. And then on the other stuff with the fibromyalgia, man, I've known people who've been through it. You know, and I know, if I know anything about you, you're going to get through this okay. So just keep doing what you're doing, and you're going to be fine, my friend.
Thank you. Well, it's the problem with the migraines that I've had. It's linked. It's linked to the fibromyalgia. So it's all, that whole thing is all connected.
Well, I think when you eliminate some of these, you know, the foods that we eat, a lot of this pre-made, ready-mix stuff is full of all kinds of preservatives, and I'm, you know, and I'm, I, jury's out with me on genetically modified foods. I'm still leaning to, you know, I look at some of the foods that are quote GM foods, and it turns out a lot of that is foods that have been basically hybrid seeds that have been, it's been done that way for hundreds and thousands of years, and that's real genetic modification. But I look at the stuff that's really engineered food, where they are changing genes out directly, and I have the feeling that there's something wrong with that, and I really don't like it. And so we're eating trying to eat as natural, as close to nature as possible, as natural as possible, and I think it's really starting to pay off. You know, I'm noticing
right.
my energy level is just much greater, and I think it's kind of why, I mean, the last part of 2013, I mean, this show is kind of a reflection show, and going forward, and there's a few things I'm going to talk about, too, with, you know, some things I've been seeing and some predictions. And so, if you know, if you two have predictions, too, you know, definitely pipe in. And we'll also ask the audience for their predictions about things that are going, they think are going to happen in 2014. And do a few readings while we're at it. So, but, you know, it's that last 6 months of 2013, I was really quite ill. And I was having my own difficulties, and I tried to do shows. And really just didn't have the energy. And until, you know, I finally came to that realization that all of this was stemming, you know, stemming from a health problem with me, with the weight. It was the weight
right.
for me. And the and when I was able to take charge of that, I mean, it's surprising from 3 weeks ago to now, the difference is enormous. I mean, I feel just so much better. So I'm noticing a big difference. And I know that I'll be back in a regular chair here every week doing this show, and maybe even a little more, I don't know. But, you know, we've been through the death, you know, the dad dying in 2012, and then mom has been through the operations and all that, and I'm taking more of the ranch on and doing these things. So it's been an adventure. So, but, you know, predictions, I've got some things. I've been meditating, And I don't know that 2014 is altogether going to be the greatest year. Let's put it that way. And I'm just going to throw a couple of things out there. I'm seeing conflict. And in the April 5th time frame, something about 4-5 came up from my guides on the other side. And they're talking about a conflict. And I don't know. It's like a big world event type thing. So I just – and I don't know where in the world this is. I'm just saying that there's going to be something by April, in that early part of April, that I think is going to occur. And I wish I could get more specific with it. But speaking of things that did come in, by the way, I got this note. I keep forgetting to do this. I'm going to tear away from that briefly with that conflict thing. And I do think the economic issues, there's going to be economics. Definitely with there's going to be a very big fight over the debt. For the United States. And I think that the conservative side is going to really lay down the gauntlet over this endless acquisition of debt holding the whole economy up. There's going to have to be some kind of a change. And I think that there is definitely going to be one heck of a row in Washington, D.C. So probably not altogether so much psychic, although, you know, that's kind of the things that I'm kind of picking up on are, it's going to get ugly. And there's going to be, so if you think we've seen division now, you're going to see some things. But back on the 24th, when I did the pre-show meditation, and I was trying to be ready for that show where all the gremlins knocked us off the air, I'm just going to put this out for, because I don't know who this belongs to, but I had a spirit named Julie or Julia. And I'm just going to read what I wrote from that date. And this is the number 73, and I think it might have been July 3rd or it might have been 1973, some sort of 73 significance. She wants to talk to someone named John or Jim, or pass the message on to John or Jim. She died in a car accident, and it was a steering wheel type malfunction. She says it was a quick passing, not her fault, and wants her family to know it's okay. And, you know, and I wanted to get this out before Christmas, but she wanted the family to know Merry Christmas, and that she's always around. And she's appearing in the I got to read my own writing, and it's always terrible to read. She's appearing at night to try to see if the family will see her and get her attention. She's trying to appear as a ball of light and get their attention. And so I don't know who this belongs to. I hope that someone in the archive show will pick up on this, you know, listening to this in archive or listening live. If you do know who this spirit is, Julie or Julia, and 1973, I don't know if it was a birth date or 73 was the accident date, But definitely, she came through really strong. And so I'm definitely putting that out there. There's a lot of activity in the chat room there, looking like it's really going. So anyway, I'm all over the place here. So what about you guys, so your predictions, or things that you've been picking up on?
Well, when you mentioned the kind of world crisis, I've been seeing a lot of there's going to be something that's going to happen with water. For some reason, water keeps coming up for me. So either it's something having to do with a large ship, or the beginnings of the conflict will have something to do with water. I'm feeling very strongly about that, and I was feeling that as you were talking, as you were giving your predictions.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to pin something down, I'd say it's somewhere in the Pacific.
Yeah.
You know, that's sort of, I don't know what to make of it, but I get the feeling of military conflict, and I don't understand it, or military involvement. And so I'm not sure, you know, what they're bringing in. But, I mean, you remember the show, Nancy, we did where there was Sandy kept coming up. And it was very specific.
Yeah.
And this time it's much more, this is much more vague, and I wish they would, you know, and I'm going to ask them next time to please give me more specifics, because I need something to really get a bite on, other than the date. They gave me the date, you know, or the number 4 or 5, and I don't know what I'm guessing it April 5th. But there's some sort of military significance here, and I don't understand it. And, you know, I'm just hoping I hope it's nothing really, really bad. It would be really nice if the world finally got some good news for once. You know, I'm basically a happy person. Why can't everybody else be happy? All these other nations are all squabbling. I really think it would be really cool if a bunch of us regular citizens got together and just went in and told these governments, like, can't you guys just be happy?
Or
can't you just get along?
Yeah.
Or we just create our own utopia, our own society, just away from everybody else, where everybody can just live in peace.
It just seems to me it's like, you know, hey, can't we just frickin' get along? You know,
right.
But you see the visions, you know, and there's all this, the news services are so negative, and the negative energy, and that's another thing I'm hoping to communicate out here to the audiences. If I could ask any favor of you, you know, I mean, don't tune into the news every day and live and breathe by it, because that's manufactured propaganda. That's not real. And, you know, going out into the real world and talking with real people, you know, who may have differing views than you is great. You know, they may even be angry at you for having the views you have, but you can just smile and wish them a good day. And go on, and by doing that, you're making the world a better place, you know. But all this angry rhetoric and things that go on, I mean, I'm conservative myself. I'm going to be right out forward with that. But I believe that everybody has the right to their opinion, including, you know, liberals and all sorts of different views in the world. And I think that we can just put all that excessive stuff away and find what's in the middle, and let's try to live together here, okay? Let's work something out. You know, so I think that's good. I would love to see the world get around to that, but I have a feeling we're going to go through some stuff to get there. So, anyway,
Just please let me know.
What's that? What was that, my friend?
I don't hear her.
She just suddenly dropped off. I saw a call drop out. Yep, she dropped. So I'll watch for her to dial back in.
Okay.
We've got a 646 caller. I'm just going to pop them on and see. And there's two others who don't have their hand on. One's a Skype caller with all ones, and I'm a little hesitant there. And the other I've got, and I will also warn, just in case I have any trollsters out there, we are being very vigilant. You know, I think I see her back there. We're being very vigilant about writing down phone numbers or Skype names, and we will follow up if we have a problem. So there will be consequences. We will find you. So let me see here. I'm going to bring this one up.
Hello.
Nancy, Mom. Come in, Nancy. Come in.
Hello.
I'm here.
we lost
you. You dropped off.
I know. Skype dropped me, creepy Skype. You know, I've got a question for both of you guys, for Brenda and for John. Both you guys are talking about something happening in water, okay? So my question to you is this going to be people, humans, or I've been reading, I don't know where I saw this now, something about, and everybody's talking about UFOs and aliens from outer space and everything, but somebody said that there are three huge locations on this earth that are beneath the water.
Huh.
And I was wondering, because I just kind of, you know, like when you just hear about something, you read about something, you know, and it's fresh in your mind. You guys are talking about water. I'm hearing this, you know, where people have supposedly had sightings where they had seen something come out of the water that was brightly lit and then just fly. And so I'm thinking, are we looking in the wrong place? Are they living underneath the water?
Well, you know, it's funny. There is an awful lot of sightings of things called USOs, unidentified submerged objects. And and these sightings go back to the time of Columbus. Columbus actually saw disks that were flying out of the water and it wrote them in the ship's log. And there is a number of events that have occurred right outside Long Beach, California. You know, there's an island out there. So what's the name of that island off of Los Angeles that everybody goes to? It's kind of a nice place. And if one of you can tell me in the audience who that is.
What is that?
I can't remember the name of that island. It's a beautiful Catalina.
I can't remember it either.
Catalina. Palindrome gets the award. You get a free reading.
Yay!
Yay! And Sonic Tech gets a free reading too. they're right on each other. Like, yeah. Anyway, there have been many, many UFO sightings in those particular regions around L.A. And even back in World War II, there, right after the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. There had been quite a number of shells shot at this thing that appeared in the sky over there. So that's one region. And another place is in the Bermuda Triangle over by Puerto Rico. There is rumored to be an underwater base there. And, you know, there's been an awful lot of talk about the whole notion of disclosure by the U.S. government and other governments about the subject of UFOs. And I've been paying particularly close attention to this because, you know, I mean, stop and think about it. You know, wherever you fall on this side of UFOs being alien or not, or their military technology, or a mix of both, or, you know, something completely unidentified, or it's all BS, you cannot escape the fact that the universe we live in is 13.8 billion years old. That's with a B. That's a long time. And if anyone thinks in their right mind that we're the only species out there that, you know, exists in this universe, it seems to be custom built for generating intelligences and life, you got to think again. And if somebody hasn't developed star travel ahead of us, likely it has happened for millions of years ago, if not billions, that there are other intelligences have arisen. I would defy you just to look at the numbers of galaxies and stars in each galaxy. I mean, this galaxy alone, we're a large galaxy, this Milky Way we live in, and it's roughly 200 to 400 billion stars in this galaxy alone. And Andromeda, you know, which is 2.2 million light years from us, is similarly sized. So, I mean, you think about that and look at the sheer numbers. You know, there's got to be other intelligences that have been flying around and probably stop here, you know, pick up natural resources, water, fuel, food, probably hang out with the natives. Who knows? And, you know, yeah, you never know. I mean, you know, could Earth be like a really cool just travel stop on a celestial freeway? I kind of think so. So I do think that this year with disclosure, you're right, Nancy. I think that could be a distinct thing, because there's something with the Pacific. That's what I held off from that, saying that earlier, and I was glad Brenda picked up the water thing, because that's sort of where my mind was. So we're west of here, you know, in California where I'm at, but near water.
Right.
So God knows. Let's see. And I'm going to go ahead and bring some callers on. I've had this 646 on hold for quite some time. 646, I know you're out in Manhattan somewhere. Hello, you're on SoulStream. What's your name? Where are you from?
Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
Hi, this is Christina.
Hi, Christina.
What can we do for you?
Well, I just would like to get a reading on what's coming up for me in 2014.
Well, we do readings of folks who passed, but I'll tell you what.
Meeting. Oh, I see.
Yeah, we do readings of folks who've crossed over, but Brenda, what do you get? Throw you to the wolves.
Yeah, you always throw me to the wolves.
I'm sorry.
But as soon as you started talking, I saw an elderly woman and a string of pearls. So I don't know what that means, but that's the first thing that came to me when you started talking.
She's my grandmother.
It was? Well, she's... Mm-hmm. She's very, very strongly around you, and there's something that she had wanted you to pursue. It feels like it's an education thing. It might, I'm feeling a writing or a poetry or something. There's something that she wanted you to pursue that she's hoping that you will focus on towards this next year.
That's what I've been trying to do. I'm encountering a lot of roadblocks.
What kind of roadblocks?
People don't want to see me succeed.
You have to let that go.
That's exactly where I was going with it. It's like, you know... success is something that comes from deep inside you, and it's something that cannot be denied if you choose to just plow through and go around anything that comes in your way. So what are they doing?
Yeah, I understand.
What are they doing to get in your way?
Try to make it very difficult for me to pursue the education that I want to get.
Is this a male? Is this a man that's creating this?
A bunch of them. What they're trying to do is, it's politics. It's politics.
And this is not family. I'm not sensing a family connection.
No, it's work.
All right. You know, there are more fish in the sea than just one place of work. And,
I know that. I completely understand, but the field that I'm in is very restricted. So words can get, can travel around very rather quickly. And so people can use network to shut down, like, your access to other places.
Wow.
Oh,
so
yes.
It's kind of a boys, is it a boys club is what you're saying?
Very much so. So that's get some guidance on how do I resolve this. You know, I know my grandmother's around me. I know she wants me to finish this. I am really, I am trying to pull a rabbit out of a hat at this point.
I think that you haven't exhausted all your options. I'll say that first
good.
Instinct. And the other thing I think that this is something I like about ladies in particular. We men are kind of singularly CPU'd, and I mean this in the way that we have one particular way of thinking, and ladies, your brain structures are actually physically different from ours, and you have the ability to do multidimensional thinking, and you can often outthink us. And it's actually a great thing because, I mean, without you guys doing that, you basically run the world. You know, I'm going to be the first man to admit that.
I have no problem working with men, but the man who's behind this, he's rather feminine, and then there is another woman who is in cahoot with him. So it's sort of, it's more of a female.
Well, what I'm saying is that you have not exhausted all options, and your imagination is going to need to be called on, because I think, I don't know what this career is. I mean, I don't know what you're actually doing for a living in this particular job. Is it technical? I mean,
yes.
Without getting.
Yeah, but I don't
heavily,
wanna,
yeah,
very,
heavily
very
scientific.
I don't want to just, you know. Just
yeah, I kind of know that. In those particular fields, you can get into some real. Let's put it this way. I mean, I've in IT. Sometimes we run into the groups we call the data priests. You know,
right.
And they have their collective. And if you don't agree with what the data priests say, you're out. And you know, there's an awful lot to be said for kind of going your own way. And sometimes you may have to put things on hold that you don't want to. So if you're locked into a situation like you are, but I don't think your options are all completely gone here. I mean, I think that you just need to change your tack and your approach, and maybe it's not in a way that you're going to like. But the thing I'm getting, you're going to have to give up something to get something.
Right,
Brenda, where do you see this?
Well, I keep seeing night school. That keeps coming to me. So that's something you might want to think about. If you choose to go back to school, you might need to just take classes maybe at night and not tell anyone you're taking classes.
I'm beyond night classes.
You are?
Okay. Yeah, it's way beyond that. But about the sacrifice you're talking about, I know what you're saying, and that's actually what I'm proposing right now to the other party, so that we can sort of settle this quietly, and so that I just to salvage whatever I could and not engage in this any longer. But I wonder if this is in the end I will be able to successfully move on with that, if I have to sacrifice so much to the point that I'm like still unable to attain what I want to, you know, to attain.
I think the only, let's put it this way, you know, I started off 29 years ago at the lowest rung in my company. I made it to a corporate webmaster, you know, and I mean, I was a computer operator running tape. I was a tape jockey, and I had so many frustrations, you know, at different levels through the career, and I took a lot of things really personally, and I looked at some of the places I ended up plateauing on, and I can stop now and look back, and I'm actually thankful for the things that happened. And I didn't understand it at that time, but as I've matured and aged and had a little bit more of a sage view of things, I see it now as okay, these things happen for a reason. I'm here because of I need to learn some lesson, and I'm going to have to just go with it. And I found over time that once I let the energy roll right over the top of me, and then I went with the flow of things instead of against them, that I had maneuverability. And in my current career, I mean, I was at a point 3 years ago that I had a choice of being, you know, laid off, or I could take a lesser position, and I took the lesser position, and it turned out to be the best move I've ever made. And actually, I have more responsibility, more duties, and even though I have a, quote, less of a title, I still am a very senior person in the organization, and I'm having a great time. And considering I had been extremely ill in 2006 with shingles and from the stress of the work I'd been doing,
wow.
And never could do that. And that's a lot of the reason I'm doing this work. I'm sitting here in front of you now is that shingles attack changed my life. And I almost went blind. I mean, I had to have my eyes treated. I really went through some stuff. But
oh, wow.
I look at these experiences as the negatives that come in, and yeah, you can look at something and say this roadblock is, oh, it's stymieing me and all that. Flip it around and look at the positives. What's it making you do? What's it making you think about? What values are you really wanting to follow here? You know, are you really following what you want, or are you following it because you set some dream years ago because you were a person back then that set this dream? Is it something you still really want? And
yes,
I find that an awful lot of that kind of thing is when I hear folks like you call in, I've seen myself years ago, you know, and I've had a successful career, and not all of it has gone the way I expected, but I found that that if I swim with the tide and then I can swim parallel to it or cut across the motion of where I'm being led, I have some measure of control there, and I can guide my destiny. But, you know, swimming against the breeze, you get really tired.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to say that to you, oh, go, you know, roll over and go do what they want you to do, and you know, you're trapped. What I'm saying to you is, you know, drop the energy that you're swimming against them on, and look at where you have maneuverability. And I mean,
it's not that I'm going against their energy. They want me out, and I am trying to leave on my, on the best terms possible. So it's not like a matter of swimming against energies now. I'm trying to salvage whatever I could so that I can move on to a new position elsewhere.
Well, sometimes, you know, it's like I've been in positions where I've left companies and I went out with my head held high, and I ended up when I was laid off once, and I walked in and thanked everybody, and I was actually rather emotional about it, and it was surprising because I was laid off for a day because I came in and I said, I understand why you're doing this, and I thank you for, you know, the time. I've learned so much here, and I'll take that with me and do this company proud and go on. And it ended up the next day I was called back to work. They said, we're going to move you into another area where you won't be so comfortable, but would you like this? And I said, sure, you know, if there's a paycheck in it, great. But, I mean, in your case, you ran into a political headwind here, and if they do want you out, they're going to get you out. I mean, it's a question of how you do this and how you manage it. I don't think you're going to beat, you know, especially if you're in a situation like you're talking about, I don't think you're going to beat that. But what I think is you can manage it, and you're trying to. You know, you're calling around. You're looking for anything you can find to help you. I think that raising your head held high and going with it is – And then choose to paddle the direction you want. And you may find that you're not going to have the job that if you take another job and maybe it's not even in the same career. You may find that God's got different things in mind for you. And be flexible. You know, that's what all we're saying here.
So you're saying that I'm going to have to settle for less.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying to you is sometimes it's like I settled for the job that I talked about where I had the chance to either leave or I took a lesser title turned out to be one of the most beneficial things. At the time, I thought, oh, my God, I failed.
Well, I am trying to
But I am loving it.
My situation is a little different. I understand what you're saying, but my situation is not the same as yours. Everyone's circumstances is different, and I know you're trying to like inspire me with your stories, and you know, and I wish that my situation were that, you know, not as complicated as the one I'm dealing with right now. So there is one position, you know, I'm hoping to relocate, and you know, and hopefully I can land that position and get the people here to cooperate and help me move forward. And I wonder if you see that happening.
That's sort of in the vein of where we're going. I mean, you throw something out there that you, I don't know how you can do this with them, but if you were to just come right out and say, here's what I'd like to do, you know, that's kind of the energy I'm talking about. Be the one in charge rather than let it happen to you. Go in and, I mean, it's going to be a crapshoot whether or not they go for it. They may want you out so bad that they're willing to sign a ticket to get you out over to this other spot, and you find yourself there, and that's really where you want to be. But, you know, career-wise, I mean, I'd say my gut feel, I'm just going to be try to be positive about this, and Brenda, back me up, you know, or disagree. but my gut feel is they're probably, given the way that you're sounding and just my instinct here, I think they're going to probably want, you know, if you come out and you propose this solution to the mutual problem is, and I see that, Nancy, thanks. the mutual solution is that to get you out of the way, you go off to this other place. And hopefully, is it in the same company or is it just a different division of the same organization?
No, it's a different location, different company.
Well,
completely.
I would say you've got a shot at it. But, I mean, you've had conflict with these folks in the past, right?
Yeah.
The folks that you're... You know, I'm going to give it a 75% chance it'll work. You know, if you are creative and show them respect, and you know, treat them with whenever this conversation happens, you may have to initiate it. It may be very uncomfortable for you, but I just think that this is probably the best solution. You know. It's one thing. I mean, doing mediumship and doing spiritual work, an awful lot of the time we get this kind of a reading where it's down to earth. You know, this is practical stuff that really, you know, the other side looks and says, you picked this life, you came in here, you got to learn these lessons. And, I've had to do this horrible thing where I've had to deal with companies that I didn't like or did a situation I didn't like. And I had no power other than to fess up and say, here's what I'd like to do. What do you think? And more often than not, it worked out. So I hope this helps. I hope it inspires you, and I wish you well. Okay? Hello?
Okay. All right.
Thank you. Well, take care, Christina. And let me go ahead and put that. Oops, I think she dropped off.
Okay.
Oh, there she is. Okay, I've got. And are my two lady hosts still with me?
Yes, I'm still here.
Nancy, I'm going to say Illuminati. Illuminati over here. All right. Oh, I see them. And we know. Now, you know, with regard to that reading, I'm going to tell you something. And now, one of the things that we do on this show is we generally do readings from the other side. And when we get the calls from folks that are looking for oh, thank you, COG. I appreciate that comment, Terry. And so we're just going to tell you what. I'm going to go ahead and just kick that one. And, you know, if you come on the show, I mean, you're coming into the chat, and I believe me, we're watching what's going on out there. I'm going to be checking if you do want a reading, by the way, and you really are who you think say you are. What we'd like to do is for callers calling in, he's got his own show. That's great. I'm glad for him. Mm-hmm. Anyway, what I'm going to be doing is tonight, now we've got a number of people with their hands up for readings, and if you do want a reading, private message me here on the chat. And tell me what number you are, and I'll be checking your profile. And that's how we're going to deal with things, because I'm very aware of the all the guests out there in the chat room. And we're just going to take it from there. But, I mean, Brenda, I mean, the thing with that sort of reading, it's really difficult. I mean, because what do you say?
Well, the thing is that we can't, you know, we can't tell you a direct answer. It's we're getting feelings of things. So you have to just kind of take what we're saying, you know, we're being guided to say what we're saying. It may or may not be the right answer, and it may or may not be the answer that you're looking for. So, you know, I have difficulty when people get argumentative about things that I'm seeing, and it's kind of like, well, you came to me for the reading knowing that it's basically just spiritual guidance. Don't get argumentative about what I'm feeling, because it may or may not be the truth.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I find that when I'm – thanks, Nancy. And I see your breath of terror. I'm going to bring you on. Oh, she's there. I did hit her button. Hello.
Hello. Are you off there? You never
hear
me.
Okay. Well, chime in, because, I mean, what we're saying is, I mean, these kinds of readings, I mean, when people come in, they want to, you know, sometimes they want us to tell us what they want to hear. And a lot of times,
right,
the stuff that comes in is really down, grungy, earth material stuff. And it has nothing to do with, you know, anything that's from the other side or some spirit. I mean, you did pick up the grandmother energy, which was great.
Right.
You know, and you were very accurate on what you picked up. But when she immediately walked into the whole thing with the whole thing with the employment and the change of that stuff that we're here for. I mean, so you know, on this earth for, and we got to learn hard lessons, and that's a hard lesson. You know, when you get into conflict with an employer and run into that situation, you know, the only things we can say are the things we said. I mean, what am I going to do? I mean, you know, pull a rabbit out of my own hat and say, "Well, this will do, it'll go fix it." It's like, you made that bed, you got to lay in it.
You know? Right.
So,
right.
I mean, I wish her well. I mean, gosh, I hope she does, you know, get through that.
I do too. And through the whole process, I kept seeing the word control. It's, you need to release the control that you're trying to have over the situation and just let things happen the way that they're supposed to. Sometimes you have to let go of your wanting to control things and just let things happen.
Yeah,
that's it. And I see this one, Sada, and it tells me that I'm 20, my father passed away over Christmas, and I want to know if he's doing fine and let go of the fight we had beforehand. Unfortunately, I would love to read you, but your profile has nothing in it. Zip. And it has this strange word, Asada. So I would love to read you, but you've got to have a valid profile and actually stuff in it. And, I mean, I'm sorry, I can't read folks that do not have a profile. So it's just going to be, we're going to have one of those nights. And I'm seeing that the guests are somewhat a number dropped down. They know, the Illuminati know we're watching now.
Yeah.
They know.
I got my
watching.
Illuminati eyes going.
The Illuminati.
Yeah. I I see you. Holy cow.
Well, Teresa, what's up? What is up in the wide world of Arizona?
Sunshine.
Huh?
Sunshine. What a show. What a show tonight. You guys are all doing great.
It's good to be back in the seat. I mean, I've been nervous about reading. I'm going to be honest. I've been nervous about getting back in the chair. And I knew we'd probably have some readings like this where, you know, we had a rough start. But, you know, it's like you deal with it, you go on, you know. And, I mean,
exactly.
But I mean, you do readings, right?
Yes. Do you remember when I came on a couple of months ago, John, and I wanted to know about my birth father, remember? And it was really kind of a morbid situation, but I just want to let you know that turned out very nicely for me. And I have been, for like the last 2 months, I have had like 14 visitors around me constantly. Seven are definitely male energy and seven are definitely female energy. And they are really helping me. I mean, I am doing technological stuff that people go to school for 5 years for. I'm doing my own videos now. I'm doing the green screen thing. I'm just doing all kinds of stuff that I always thought that it would be cool to do that. And this kind of ties into the lady that just called, if she's still listening. You need to get with someone that you can trust, that can go and bring you in your Akashic records, because you've had this problem for a really long time in more than just the work arena of your life. And I love you. And that's all I got to say about that. Okay. And then the other thing is, what do you see around me? Because this is incredible. It's beautiful. I love it. But I don't know if these are, you know, if I say, are you my family? Are you my friend that died, you know, on such a day, such time? And I'm not getting any answers. And, you know, I'm very visual, and I also hear a lot of stuff, and that's the other thing. There's been a lot of stuff going on. I'm getting a lot of messages. So, and I've been following through as greatly as I can. I mean, there's only so many hours in a day, but I'm doing it, and I've shared it with a couple of people, and, you know, everything that they were doing as far as their metaphysical business and whatnot, nothing's really taking off for them. And myself as well. So, you know, the message I got for 2014 was to understand and appropriate the ease and joy of manifesting. That was what I got. And so I'm sharing that with everybody.
What else? I mean,
So I could go on for an hour. No.
What's your predictions for 2014, Teresa? I mean, what do you think?
I believe that we have not seen the last of the Fukushima stuff, and that they've done a pretty good job about keeping the masses medicated with crap that's on the news. And I'm sorry, that's all it is. It's corporate crap. It's what the corporations want you to know. And but I don't watch it. So, you know, if people want to accuse me of making my own little world, then good. You know, I suffered my whole life to be able to have the power to make my life what I wanted. So thank you. You know, so, but, and I also see that I see a really bright light. This is what I saw. I saw a really bright light, a light in the shape of a Merkaba. Okay, it's a sacred geometric shape. And it's wedge triangles all hooked together. And I believe that I don't believe a new religion will be created, but I believe the way will become very apparent, if you want to call it the way. I believe that people will suddenly, the lights will come on, and they're finally going to be home, and they're going to go, oh, God, that's what the crazy lady Teresa down the street meant. You know, that's what she was talking about. Yeah. Let me try it. And people are going to instinctively just know what to do for themselves. I also think outside of that and along with it, as far as money and day-to-day living and going solar and canning their own foods and doing that, a lot of people, a lot of everyday common people are starting to say, I got to do something. I want to build a garden in my community. I want to do something. Something has to happen. And I just pray to God that those people like that, they get all the financial backing that they need, and they get all the open doors that they need. So that's about all I've seen so far. But I've only been asking for a couple of days, and I was just kind of shown those few things like that. I didn't specifically ask because I just never really did that before. So, but.
Yeah, that's how it's been with me. I mean, like when the Sandy thing happened last year, or a year before, I keep thinking 2013. It's, you know, in 2012, September 2012, October time frame, I started seeing all this Sandy stuff. And I didn't ask for it. I just started coming in. And that's how some of these other things have happened. And, you know, when you're out of the game as long as I've been and just getting back in the seat, it's a little intimidating, you know. But you pay attention when you meditate before show. You know, you pay attention to the symbols, and you write. You know, try to remember as much as you're seeing, and try not to edit it. You know, and it's interesting because the more you do it, the more detail you'll get. You know, and it's.
Exactly.
I mean, you do this quite a bit. I mean, you. How often do you meditate and do the work that you do?
Oh, probably about 6 to 8 hours a day.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah, I kind of live in the, I just barely have my toes on the planet. Because I created a space where I could do that. I created the income so I could do that. I created all the physical things. I let go of the new car and the new this and that. I got to have this kind of leather couch and then I got to be silent. And I just let go of all that. And for a long time, it felt like a failure, like I did something bad or wrong or, oh, God, what will people think? And I know I just won't ever let anybody come in my house, you know. Well, that didn't work, you know. So I just, like, totally, like, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, I started with a vicious intent to get the BS and the excess and whatnot out. And then 2009, I was like, standing back going, whoa, I am so glad I did that.
Wow.
Well, thank you, Special Family Connections. I think you're beautiful, too. I feel your energy. Awesome. And so I'm just wondering, what do you see? The seven females have me perplexed because I don't think I know seven females. No.
I don't feel that these are spirits of people that you've known. I think that they're attracted to you because they feel safe and they know that you medium. They know that you are a medium and they're just drawn to you because they feel safe. And I'm feeling the word protection is coming up for me a lot. It's like they're needing protection from you.
You think they're earthbound, or
very earthbound. They feel like they don't know where to go or how to move on, and so they're very drawn to you. But something else that's coming up, and this may sound really weird, and I was trained, you know, you just say whatever comes through.
You go for it, honey. You go for it.
There's a connection with you and frogs for some reason. I'm seeing frogs. I don't know what that is.
Okay.
But there's some sort of a connection.
That's what that guy was talking about.
I saw frogs. I mean, but when I did meditation, I'm seeing frogs. And I go, I don't get what the hell I'm seeing frogs for. Okay, I got it now. Come on.
That's really cool. Yeah, I totally got that. Okay, I sat down with some of these spirits about 2.5 weeks ago, and I said, look, is there something that I can do for you, or do you want to go in the light? And I felt like some of them left, and then twice as many showed up the next day. So
because
I really want to thank you for that. That's right on. I just need to spend a little more time and do that and get that done.
But I think because you're such an open medium, you may always have those experiences where they leave you and then they come back. Or not the same ones come back, but others come and join you. It's just because they feel safe with you and they feel like they can trust you to show them the right way to go.
Oh.
Teresa, one of the, I don't know if you were listening in when the show started, but I, on Christmas Eve, I was trying to do the show and we had all the trouble getting the show started. And I had this woman who came through to me, named Julie or Julia. Do you have any Julie or Julia in your past who's passed on?
No, I do not. I did hear that. I did hear that when you said that, but I have nobody that I know of.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a place for this woman. She came through. She was very strong, and it was just like I was like, when I was in, you know, pre-meditation, I'm just going, what the heck is she doing? She crashed right through. I mean, and it was like, okay, I'll pass the message on. I hope the heck somebody out there could claim this lady, because she had a really kind heart, but she was just really bold and wanting to get out there. So I don't know who it belongs to. Your spirit guides, Teresa, they're like really crystalline. I mean, all those crystals that you do. I mean, are they really associated with the crystals you do work with?
Or? Oh gosh, I was seeing crystals too. So they're.
Oh yeah, my house is full of stuff. My garage is not even more. I know. Sometimes when I'll get a call, someone will be like, "I got ghosts in my house. I'm freaking out." I'm like, "Okay, hold on. I'm going in the garage." Because that's where a lot of this stuff I have, it's in its raw form. It hasn't been cut up or turned into beads or something yet. So, but yeah.
Are you?
Yeah, the crystals definitely have their own person. Each one has its own personality. In fact, you can take two off the same layer of the earth and get two distinct different tones and the frequency of the tone, the vibration of the stone, the voice of the stone, I call it. So, yeah, I like the rocks. They like me.
What about, now, do your guides, I mean, you have a pretty good relationship with your guides then, and did they lead you into the whole thing with crystals? I mean, or were you just sort of?
Yeah, I begrudgingly went into it because I'd rather do network marketing or something and run around and try to justify why I need $100,000 tax write-off. But I really wanted to get away from that kind of life, the whole corporate thing, and have a way and means. I see deeply, deeply, deeply into the human soul and psyche. I mean, instantly, like sometimes about 25, 30 years, I thought I was losing my mind. I mean, I just never knew which was my thought and which was somebody else's. Do I really like this? Why am I buying this, you know, with all the other stuff that they throw at you? That's why I said about 10, 12 years ago, I said, this is enough. A famous little black lady on YouTube that I found, she says, I had my enough. Sweetie. And I did about that time I had enough. I had enough of lying to myself, of lying to other people. I had enough of life's BS and even the good BS, you know, because it was incomplete. It was superficial because they had a high money life for a long time. And so, you know, my bills are paid. The bills are paid, and I go out of my way every day to enjoy my own life and my own company, and when I do that, I get lonely sometimes, but when I do that, it's like this whole entourage of spirits comes in, and they're like, yeah, and I go, well, you know, then somebody will call me, I'll go, oh, well, I got a message for you, because this one just came to me, and here you go with this one over here, and you go over there, and you guys sit over there, and it's like, you know, Grand Central Station here lately. So, but I was wondering about the male energy in particular, because I never really had that much male energy come through as I have in the last 2 months.
Is your dad crossed? Because
you remember he was like locked in a, like he was locked up over there. He was like a really bad, bad, bad person, the McDonald's thing and all that stuff, remember?
Oh, yes, yes. I remember
that. Okay, yeah.
This is on your father's side. I've got this male energy coming through, and I wasn't sure about your dad, if it was your dad.
Okay.
But, the word machines, and I'm getting like, whoever this is, did your father have brothers, siblings? Was it brothers?
I think so, yeah.
But you didn't know them?
No, I never knew that side of the family. But I never met them, but he did, I think he had two brothers and two or three sisters. I'm not sure.
and you know very little of them.
I know nothing about any of them, and I only know what a couple of family members told me about my father, and it's not a pretty story.
Okay, well, the thing
my
I'm getting
went,
here...
My family went, you know, heartbroken and in panic and living in fear all of my life that I would find out about my dad, so my mom finally told me. That
I remember a bunch of this from,
it's
been so long, it's just like, but the thing I'm getting here is there's... with your dad, I mean, just to remind myself, how well did you know him?
I didn't.
You didn't know him very well. Was he?
He tried to kill me when I was 3 weeks old. Remember, he tried to kill me when I was 3 weeks old, 3 months old,
yeah.
And almost 3 years ago, or three years old. He had kidnapped me from my mom. And the FBI found me in a hotel room in a steamer trunk in Las Vegas. And that was the first time I ever saw a German Shepherd when they opened that box. And I was in that box for 3 days.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
And I was almost 3 years old. So that's why I said I see deeply into people's souls. And I do believe that... I ascribe to this school of thought that there's always this battle of, well, is this person a more gifted psychic than this one? This one bought the psychic license, and this one had a life of hell. You know, well, for me, this is what I believe. I'm not a better psychic because I went through hell, but I use that to empower myself.
That's sort of how it ended up with a lot of us. I think a lot of mediums and psychics, we go through these trials and tribulations. I went through 9 years of speech therapy just to learn how to talk, and they couldn't shut me up once they got me going. But, I had to wear special things on my legs to make them work right. I went through some stuff, and it really affected me deeply. And I started seeing spirits when I was 5 years old. And didn't know what I was looking at. I was just going, oh, those are pretty lights, you know, and they seem to play with me, and who are they? And, you know, I thought everybody saw this stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing with, I'm getting this male energy with machines. Was your dad, what was his line of work? Because was he a machinist or some kind of machine type person?
He worked on the docks.
Oh, so he did, like, cranes and stuff like that, you know, and lifting and hoisting.
And long
beach. Yeah, so we could go ahead. And he worked in around the machine shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay, I think he's coming through. And, you know, the thing that I think he approves of what you're doing. I mean,
cool.
That's the thing. You can look past the stuff that he did in life. You know, that stuff's done. He did all that for a reason, and that was his life path. And when he crossed over, he's going through his own lessons and all that. But I think he looks at where you are at as a person now, and you're doing exactly what you need to be doing, and he's very happy with that. And that's kind of – I just kept getting into this male energy with you, and then you brought it up. And I'm sitting here. I've got the – you know, I've got my normal pencil and pad paper here, and I've got I've got an arrow pointing to Dad, and down below I've got machines. And I'm going, what the hell is it with the machines? You're showing me machines. And then, so, this confirms it. So he's, the other thing is, your mother is cross, right?
No.
She's not? Okay.
No, she's not. There is a lady that, she was like a mother to me, she's very tall.
Is that the one?
Very Mae Westy with red hair.
She's crossed?
Yes.
Because there's a feminine energy that's associated with you that was crossed and older.
Okay.
So be that mother figure. I'm trying to just tune into her right now.
I'm going to interject. I'm hearing like this weird
like almost, I want to say like a mining sound, like somebody's chipping away at a rock. And I've been hearing that for quite a few minutes. So there's someone that's connected to you that...
Okay,
that
I know who it is. It's not the family, but he was like a dad and a brother to me. And he was a fellow veteran, and he died September last year.
Wow.
2012. Yeah, suddenly. I mean, he was on his way over to my house at like 3 o'clock the next day, and at 3 o'clock the next day, I answered the door expecting it to be him, and it was his girlfriend and his best friend of 47 years. So they went all through grade school and high school and the military together. They were buddies, big time. And his buddy was there, and he said, "I'm really sorry," because they were all crying when I opened the door. I said, "Oh Lord." I said, "Come on in," and they just kind of stood there, and I said, "What's wrong?" And they started crying really hard, and they could hardly get, and then I knew. So I said, "It's okay, come on in and get out of the heat." It's 123 outside. They come in the house and get out of the heat, and I'll get you guys some water. So, but, yeah, he gave me a machine. A rock machine. It's really big. It costs about $3,500. He gave it to me. It's a nice machine. Thank you, Alan.
Well, hell, that's okay.
There you go.
Well, he is really, really around you a lot because that sound, now I don't hear it anymore now that I've said something, but it was like that's all I could hear was this chipping sound, like chipping at a rock. And it just kept getting louder, and it was him.
Way to go, Brenda.
Why letting me to bring that up? Because he's with you all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
He was like a dad to you then. I mean,
we only knew each other about a year, but I was closer to him than I think I've ever gotten to any other human being in that short amount of time. I mean, it was just amazing. It was like we'd known each other forever. And he has my mother's. He has my mother's surname. He has my mother's maiden name.
Wow.
And what's that?
Yeah.
What was,
that's really cool.
What was it? What was that name?
Why, his name is Alan White. He was an Orange County firefighter and paramedic, like a heroic one, a couple of times over. He is very well known. He was a beautiful soul, very beautiful soul. That just makes me feel so good. God.
So he came through. I mean, yeah, because I was trying to, I'm sitting there going, well, it had to be your dad. Yeah, and I've been out of this game for a while, so I'm just getting my, I've got rust on me here. I'm just, more WD-40,
that's
please.
That's okay. You're doing fine.
But it was like this machine, and it was like, why, dad machine. I'm going, I don't understand this. the thing was, did your mother, who's still with you, did she ever know this guy? She ever meet him?
No.
She never met, but she knew of him through you.
I haven't seen my mom since 1999.
Wow.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting all the details, all this stuff. So it's...
I don't have a normal family connection to my family. I am called of the light. I do not have normal family connections at all. I don't do a lot of things socially that most normal people do. I kind of live for spirit. It's so much more rewarding to me.
You know, you're one of the happiest people I've ever met, too. I mean, whenever I see you on Facebook and stuff, it's like
I truly am a happy person.
There, you're like, oh, hi. And I'm laughing. I'm just going, oh, there she is. Yeah. Hi, how you doing?
Yeah. There's no reason to go through life and be so damn serious about everything. I used to be so serious. I'm totally Virgo. I have Virgo moon, Virgo this, Virgo that. And I was born as Virgo. And, like, we overanalyze everything. Oh, it's got to be a reason. Let me figure it out. No, I'll be $29.95. Okay, what do you mean you can't pay me? What do you mean you can't pay me? You know? And now I'm like, I do it. I do it. And I do what I need to do every day, and I try to keep my personal feelings out of what I do when I have to do things like go in public or go around somebody I know that doesn't like me or something like that, and just not take things personal and be creative every day. And what I call supportively creative, like I've created this beautiful rock business for myself and a beautiful the souls that I get to help over the phone or Skype with going to Akashic Records or getting to know their own soul and their blocks and their energy centers and how to balance all of this spiritual life with the outside world. Because a lot of people, like I live in a retirement, very wealthy area. You know, when I say lightworker, people look at me like, what? You know, so I have to say, are you going to decide to have a good day sometime? Or are you going to just continue to bitch? You know, so then they get it. You know, they get it because they're stuck in the paperwork and the personalities and the problems of their own life, you know.
Well,
and
you know. That's the thing that gets me is it's like you're on the planet for, you know, if you're lucky, you get 75 good years, you know, and then you know, after that, you know, you kind of wind it down, you get ready to leave. And in that 75 short years, you know, you've got the choice of whether you're going to really, you know, embrace life and be happy with it. And yes, you're going to have moments where it sucks. But there's for the most of the time, you can if you can just keep this silly grin on your face and look at people and go, hi, you know, I mean, that's the reason we're here. We're supposed to make each other feel good and be happy. And
yeah.
People go well, looking for happiness. Well, I don't know how to define happiness. I just know it when I'm happy.
Right.
And
exactly.
I choose to be
exactly.
happy.
And try not to stress yourself over all the mundane garbage that just is.
Yeah. And you know when you're naturally every soul knows when it's truly happy and when it's truly being creative. We were created to express God's joy and creative ability. He trusted us so much with that. He gave us the voice, gave us the personality, which is our interpretation of the vibrations that we are around, right?
Yeah.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. We've got about half hour left. I'm going to try to squeeze a reading in here, and I'm going to bring Emmanuel on. I don't know. I'm not sure. I've never met Emmanuel before. I'll see
he's
if he's willing
cool.
to pop on. You like Emmanuel?
He's very
okay,
cool.
So he's the real deal. So I've got. I think he was the 928 caller, right?
No, that was me.
Is that? Okay, Emmanuel, are you still there? Emmanuel, if you can post your which number you were on or you want to dial in, I'll pop you on here. Let me know if you want to come on. And if not, I hope to see you again because you're a very interesting soul. he's just there.
I think he's 954 is what he put in the chat.
954.
Yeah, I think he was 954, yeah.
954. I'm looking for – I don't see him there. So if he's wanting to dial in, I've got a 928. Yeah, and that's Teresa. And then the 111s and all this other. Is he there? I'm looking. There he is. He popped in. That guy.
Ta-da!
Ta-da!
Emmanuel, welcome to Soulstream, my friend.
Thank you. This is Reverend Joey Emmanuel.
Hello there.
Hi.
Hi. I was just on with Teresa before. We were doing a hangout over on Google. But I actually had a question. No?
Yeah, what's that?
Google Hangouts is really cool. You could broadcast your show live from Google Hangouts and videotape it. It's very awesome. And it's free.
I totally agree with a lot of your predictions. I'm a channel of High Masters and Lord Melchizedek, and since 2003, he's been showing me everything that's been happening up to now. And what he's showing me is that it has still not happened this year is a collapse of the financial system so a new system could be set up in place. And the kids that are now grown-ups are the ones that are going to take these people out of the office and take place. What else, other than that, I don't know specifically what's going to happen, what else is going to happen, but in other words, it's going to be look tragic, but it's not going to be like so momentous. The way he said it, being from his position, was buildings will crumble, meaning businesses, establishments, and stuff like that, and temples will rise. I have no fear. The New Jerusalem is here. And so, in other words, pretty much every time I listen to that phrase and I published it, it tells me something new. Because in a few words, it's kind of like, more like, that's more like prophecy. It came through in 2003. I published it in 2009.
Yeah.
But anyhow, enough about that.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have so many different people that I actually get communications with. The only one that I haven't done a lot is usually spirits, unless my dad comes in, because I've been seeing him since I was 5 years old or earlier. And the only one I was wondering, if I have some, my roommate passed away about 2 years ago, Thanksgiving, and I sometimes sense that he's around, but I'm not actually sure if he's actually helping me with the finances and the keeping up of the house. He left me the house, and I mean, I'm very happy that I get to also, like Teresa, meditate 3 or 4 times a day and do my spiritual workings. And at the same time, I just wondering if he was involved in my business and I'm going to say in a relation, look, in relationship, twin soulmate type of thing. Is there a mission, I mean, that he's, is he helping? Is he close?
And when did he pass? Was this, you said it was a Thanksgiving several years back or?
2 years in 2011. Mm-hmm.
2011.
Actually, to tell you the truth, what's coming true to me is a female.
Okay.
And I'm seeing orchids, the flower, an orchid.
Yes, ma'am.
And a lot of a deep, kind of a deep salmony pink color. But there's a woman that is very, very close around you. He's there with you, but he's not the one that's actually coming through to me right now. It's actually the female that's coming through.
Okay.
This female, it was funny, Brenda, when I normally on my system, when I do my, I'm sketching for a read, I'll write the person's name down on the left, and then I'll generally on the left, I'll put, father energy, and then the right female, and I draw a line down the middle, and then I see where to place the spirit that's coming through. And I was working on that while you were talking, and I had didn't realize I had transversed the energy. I had dad on the right, female on the left, and I had written down roommate, and this female energy was almost male. I mean, I'm getting like a male component to this woman.
I know who you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was she sort of like a tomboy or something?
No, she was very strong. She walked on Earth as Source. Her name was Omion. She was the teacher that gave me the confidence to speak up and be who I am, the messenger to this. And she got me, she told me, Joey, you have to write the book. And every time I questioned where is this information coming from, she would tell me, who made you? And so she kept saying, God made me. And so I got it. And she passed away in 2009. And she passed away, she knew she was going, and she wrote it down. And she said, I am leaving an angel's wings because it's my time, and on golden's wings, and I will overlook that all my children. She's appeared to me all the time.
Wow.
Did she talk in kind of a male type of a way? Did she express herself in a with a male energy in a way?
She was male and female. She was all. She was Isis, Osiris. She just was everybody on earth. I don't know how else to explain. She came back to me right after she passed away, and only in 5 months, and she says, I've already ascended to the white light of purification, Joey.
Wow.
Was she appearing with, like, literally white lights around you? I mean, were you seeing points of light and things like that?
Yes, and I guess now she, when she comes around, she sends a fragrance like a perfume that doesn't exist here on earth, and she embraces you with it. She was from Philadelphia, African American woman, and she had a store here called The Way of Spirit, the Temple of the I Am Presence. She always had them in the high design areas, and she just went no matter what. That was her mission, and she would sit back and realize would take illnesses to her, and because she could release them, and she would end up in the hospital, and she would laugh about it all the time. Joey, can you imagine? I have some disease that the kids, they say you're supposed to, they can't figure it out. But of course, she was joking with me because she knew that I knew that she was picking up all these energies to her, but she was able to release them, and she was like the biggest, most, strongest teacher that we have, and she taught a whole group of us, and to me, she called me her little angel, and she wants me, she told me that she wanted me to be the baby Omion.
Wow.
And the orchid comes with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm gonna jump in just one moment. Gerber Daisy, she's battling the flu bug and winning the battle. And so we're just sending special light to her, my friends. And so everybody, just throw a little energy to Gerber. She's a regular listener, and we really like her. And sending energy.
Yeah.
You mentioned Isis there. Isis is the goddess of life. Interesting energy. I've always had a special feeling for her.
Me too.
And a lot of people think that that's an ancient goddess that no one venerates anymore. And you would be surprised at the number of Isis worshippers out there. There's a whole temple to Isis out in England, I believe.
And another one in Spain, too. Mm-hmm.
There's one in Tucson, too.
Yeah, and she is a very potent entity in all in her own right, and she is very real. And if you will just even pay her a compliment, she will make her presence in your life known. And I've had the direct dealing with Isis, and she is something. So have I.
And like when I do any kind of Egyptian stuff, all kinds of doors, winds, every element in the world, it starts to move in my house. And the only one that actually could teach me the truth about that was Omion, because Omion was born, and her parents were Pentecostal, but they told her, her mother would sneak her into the garden and say, you're meant to do these things, but in a very different way than your father does. And she would teach her, since she was a girl, about the fairies and the this and the, all the different, and she became a minister, and she did all kinds of work with Isis and everybody else, and I even asked her about the feng shui one time. He goes, Joey, what did we ever do before? This is the way she talked, because she was like very much a Leo with a Scorpio rising.
So
you feel that powerful male energy. Sometimes people thought she was a man. Sometimes people thought she was a woman. And she wore like sarongs, one on her head, one on her blouse, and one around her skirt. And she walked through the medicine state.
Wow.
Very beautiful.
One thing I did when I wrote down on my reading chart here for her, when you were talking, I had a cross down the middle, which was interesting, as you brought up the male preacher and then the wife being into, the other religion. I realized I've got a cross, a Christian cross here essentially. But in the middle of the cross, down about, one quarter of the way, I drew two arrows, one going from left and then crossing over the cross to right, and then another arrow going across the cross line to the left. And I thought, why in the hell am I drawing this? And so, this is what they do to me. I'll just start drawing symbols, and I don't know why I'm drawing this, but
Okay.
Was this like a weaving path? I mean, I don't know.
Yes, it's a weaving path. It's a weaving path, and what you're describing to me is partially, you almost got her entire logo.
Oh,
she designed
wow.
her logo.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
oh,
it also had
God.
A circle, and it had the cross, and it also had the logo of the Ankh on the top, because it was the halo.
The Ankh, yeah.
I tell you, I don't...
Lord.
She insisted and wrote, I have her writing, all her... The day after, a year after, I have all her writings here. Her original, she would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to channel the 10 o'clock message, and she had it all typed out in perfect, the message from God. And no matter what hurricane or whatever, the thing she did, you don't know what she was doing, but she said, I'm working for you. She didn't have to explain it, and you knew that things were working. And the orchids, I have a lot of orchids because she told me, Joey, for prosperity, you need orchids, and put money inside your orchid roots. And I have orchids everywhere because
That's
of that.
What I was seeing was the orchids.
Yeah.
Your friend who passed 2 years ago, because you were asking about him in particular.
Yeah.
When he passed, this, I guess, my instinct is this was not, I guess, expected. Was this like a sudden passing?
Well, yeah, it happened very fast, although it took 3 months. He never wanted to go to the doctor, and we found out he had cancer, and 3 months later he died.
So it was just out of the blue, this shot in the dark, and he just, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
When he passed, within a matter, because this happened with my father, and I'm getting my image of my father's events.
Okay.
When he passed, when my father passed, I saw him the next day in my home. I saw him in the house, and I'm being shown that this something like this happened with you.
Well, with Jean-Paul was his name. He was French-Canadian. He took me in like his son for like 13 years. And basically, his passing, the way that he hung on, the pain that he had to go through, it was like what I received when he came and showed up, he was still not at peace yet, even after he passed, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah, and that's how it was with my father. My father, it was 24 hours after he had passed, and I was in the kitchen. I turned around and looked, and I caught motion out of the corner of my eye, and I turned and looked dead on. And here's my father, and he was gliding by, not walking, gliding. And he did a right-hand kind of a strange turn, and went out to the laundry room, and he was still in his kind of his hospital type clothes. He had a pair of he had like an old T-shirt on, and he had this he liked to wear to the hospital his sweatpants, blue sweatpants.
Well, okay,
had this confused look about him, and he just disappeared. And I'm like going, what the hell? You know, I mean, I know he crossed, but he's not quite normal yet. You know.
No,
so,
I'm sorry?
Yeah, was it the same sort of thing with your friend, with Jean-Paul?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, he kind of like showed up, and I was in the kitchen, and my roommate was always in the kitchen, and we were having the same fight we had a month before about split pea soup. He said, you got to stop in the beach, and I got split pea over, and I said, Jean-Paul, go around, turn around and look at go back to light. And don't come back because I'm still emotionally attached to you until I'm ready to receive you.
Oh, wow.
Because he was like, poor thing, he was struggling. He was like, he wanted to go, but then he was afraid, and he knew he had to go. And then he finally understood, and then he had to go to the hospital for a whole month. And they were trying to get him out, but he couldn't. He was already all over the place by the time that, you know. But
did the other thing that I'm getting about him is he made another appearance, and I think slightly more integrated. And I would guess that's within 6 months. Is it with like within a 6 month time frame he made another appearance with you?
I went to pay the rent, and when I was coming back, I felt like he was in the house. And then he makes appearance. He like my father. He liked coffee a lot, and so I'll smell coffee in the house even when I don't have the coffee pot on. And that's like his sign of telling me that he's here. And my dad, since I was 2 years old is when he passed away. My dad likes to spill coffee on me. I go, Dad, could you pick another joke? But my dad has coffee. My dad has with me since I was 4 years old. I say to people, he's been like the best parent out of the boat because I could tell him everything about my life, and he wouldn't judge me because he was already on the other side. And I saw him again when I was 17, 21, 22. At 20 years old, I met Merlin, and every angel, no matter what angel group I was, no matter how fancy, my dad would be sitting next to my shoulder, making sure that I felt safe. And my dad passed away, and I received from him that it was his time to go. It wasn't my fault that it happened the day of his birthday. It was his time to ascend. He never had to return to Earth. And every time that somebody passes away in the family, he comes first to give me the announcement.
The thing with coffee, I'm still laughing. I like that a lot.
My dad, he liked his Cuban coffee and his cigarettes. Oh, I'm Cuban. I was born in Cuba. And he died the day before my second birthday. And anybody of my sisters or any family member, they'll be making any kind of Cuban coffee or coffee, and if he needs to get a hold of you, he'll make sure that your handshakes or it spills somewhere. Sometimes I got it on my shirt. One time I spilled it on my shirt. I was on my way to a place. And I ended up saying, oh, what the heck, I'm going to go home, change clothes, and go to a piano place instead of going discotheking. And it turned out I met a partner at that time instead of going, you know. So my dad has been helping me out for a while.
Wow.
You know, I love him because he's, like I said, he's always around. And I got him inside my altar because he's, and together with Omion, because I feel they too are the strongest ascended beings that I actually know him. I have him on equal level. Because they communicate
there's another event that happened with me, because you and I seem to have some parallels here.
Yes, we do.
About 4 months after my dad passed in 2012, I did a show. I was doing a regular weekend show, and I had closed up shop and had the studio A all down, you know, down and powered down, and went up to the house, climbed in bed, turned the light out, and I immediately laid down and just put the covers over me, put my arm out, and I feel a strong male hand reach out and grab my arm and just give it a slight squeeze, reassuring, and then hold about 5 seconds and then let go, and I immediately knew it was my father. And
yes.
He was just approving of the work I was doing. And I'm shown that this sort of a, maybe not exactly the same kind of a touch, but a physical touch in addition to the coffee, with you. Did you have a physical touch, or I'm not saying talking about your father doing it. I'm talking about your partner, your friend who passed over in 2011.
I felt him not touch me, but like when I was building the porch now, it was like, wow, I could feel his presence when I was building the deck in the house.
But
like
you didn't have a physical, have you had any physical contact? Because if I'm not getting it now, it's going to happen then. It didn't happen in the past, I'm feeling like it's, because I mean, what I got was this tender-hearted feeling around you,
And maybe that's I'm misreading this, but what I got was this need to come in and reassure me that everything was going to be okay. And that was kind of the sense of this. So, you get that quite a bit from this, you know, this friend of yours who passed.
Yes, I get that from John Paul. And
yeah.
I get that from Omian. I could actually feel her hug me. The only one that I felt touch me that hugged me until I fell asleep one day that I was stressed was Omian. She hugged me until I was in bed until I fell asleep.
You felt that hug.
Yeah, I had an... it was interesting because I had an interview the next day. I got Social Security, so they were interviewing me. And she hugged me. She goes, I mean, don't worry, everything's going to be fine. And the next day, there's nothing wrong. I started to cry in front of this guy. And then after I left, the whole crying, and I said, you know, I see angels. And I'm kind of psychotic. They asked me to.
Oh, Lord. I
lost my dad. I start to cry. And when I leave the whole session, the guy goes to me, he goes, look, I have a spiritual degree. That's not going to pass, but I'm going to put you severely depressed. When I walk out of the room, I hear Omian's voice. She goes to me, that was the greatest performance of your life.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Did you get the job?
Well, it's Social Security because that's like my base. To me, somehow Spirit worked it out that I get a base check. And then everything else that I do for Spirit.
That was the greatest performance of your life. I like that.
They want to make sure I get a steady paycheck.
Oh, Lord.
And then we went celebrating. We went to the gourmet, got a tiramisu. We got this. We got all that. But I guess, I like them more. I tend to go to the Ascended Masters because I figure they've lived life and mastered it already. But sometimes Omian takes over. Him, I don't know yet. He just used to say, no, just go to Joey. I don't deal with it. He says, I'm just an old wizard. I don't even know how to work this stuff. My group. I go, come on, guys. You know, we have two witches, an angel, a wizard. Somebody do something. Do a spell. Do a chime.
Oh, Lord. Well, I hope we've at least answered it. I mean, you've got these two male energies that are close with you, and then this woman. I didn't write the name down. Sorry, but she's amazing.
She's amazing.
I mean,
she's amazing.
I feel I share her with you because she is not mine alone. Omian will appear. She's appeared to Teresa, and but she was very close to me, and she took very fond of me. She said to me, you're my favorite person, and even in her classes, she told me by quietly, she says, Joey, I'm preparing you, all of you, to go out into the world, everybody that was in the class, and to do my work. And she wanted me to be the baby O. She told me that. And sometimes end up doing things very uniquely. And she goes to me, Joey, you're all about new. Don't try and explain what you do to everybody because what you do is new. You're about new. And then she would always do these mudras. I would watch her hands. She goes, oh, look what I'm doing now. And so I guess my question was that when I had asked the question, who's involved with my relationship and career, I guess it's her.
Absolutely.
Because orchids, when you mentioned the orchids, she told me put coins in an orchid because she wanted me to give me the Native American corn. And I go, oh, man, how am I going to get prosperity from something that I don't like. She told me bury a coin, and I go, oh man. She goes, okay, put four quarters. I go, okay, an orchid. I said, okay, that's my favorite flower. Now you're talking, girl.
There you go.
Wow.
And
wow.
Actually, it's interesting because, you know, like using prosperity things is something to do with fertility, and in Greek, you know, the orchid is actually in the Greek actual word means, excuse me, but it means testicle, kind of like the Shiva egg or whatever, lingam egg. So it's basically a symbol of fertility. Believe it or not, that's where an orchid name comes from.
Wow, I never knew that.
But yeah. she has a very strong personality. That that's why she would come. If you ever heard her website, she says, "I am mother, father, child, parent," and then she would laugh. And in her previous life before that was she was Marie Laveau. She didn't like to tell many people about that. Who was the benevolent or feared person in St. Louis for doing voodoo.
Yeah.
And she knew this, but she didn't like to tell people. So every name that everybody called her, she said, "Oh, okay, I do resonate with that." So she would sign her saying Imperial Empress. Is it Imperial Empress something Omian? And everybody she goes, "Those titles don't even match with each other. Imperial Queen Empress Omian, but that's what everybody is calling." But no, she left when she died, her skin turned gold. It was very unique. And
we lose John.
Huh?
We lost
John.
Yes,
we lost
John.
Yeah. The host.
Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
He says he's having issues again.
Oh, no.
Still trying.
Well, I'm glad I guess that my answer is, he'll make contact, in other words, my roommate, Jean-Paul. I know that we've been talking about him a lot this Christmas.
Yes.
Do you have a dog or a? I'm feeling a dog that was a pet between the two of you. That you had.
No.
There's an animal.
Two dogs.
I'm feeling an animal that that he had a very strong attachment to. And it feels like a dog.
Hmm.
Don't know. I met him at the age of 70 or 71, and after that he said he didn't want to get attached to any more pets. I don't know if he did or not.
Oh.
I mean, I had a dog that died when I was very little that I was very attached to. They used to follow me to school every day.
Okay.
But maybe that's what I'm seeing,
because there's a dog that is with you in spirit.
He will be yellow and like a mutt, but really pretty, yellow color.
Okay. And I'm seeing really deep eyes.
Yeah, he was very human. He used to follow me to school when I was alone, and then he kind of like was a gift from St. Lazarus.
Wow.
Because when I was kicked out of bed because I wasn't supposed to sleep with my mom and my sister in the bed, I was the only boy. Then I was put in a cot when I was little, and then the dog came to follow me to school every day. And when we finally picked him up, then my sister would be 16 and married at the time. When we finally picked that up and he was comfortable that he was with me, and instead of following the bus route to school and back, he would go to my sister's door, knock on her door, keep her company, and then at 3 o'clock scratch on the door so that she could come. He already knew that I was coming home.
Oh, wow.
And he died. He got killed by a car.
He's definitely still with you because I do see the spirit of a dog that is around you.
Yeah, his name was Canelo.
Everybody, we have 1 minute on Soul Stream Radio. Our host, John Almada, is lost connection, and he is asking us to close down the show for him. And
okay.
Thank you, everybody, who participated in the show.
Thank you,
everybody. Have a great evening. And, John, we still love you out there.
Yeah, we love you.
We love you, John. He's flying around out there.
Right.
Poor man.
All right, love you, ladies. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, and thank you, Manuel. Bye, everybody, in the chat.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Love you, too, John. What do we do now?
I don't know.
Well, I guess that we just close out the show. It's get out of BTR.
Okay.
I guess. I don't.
I don't know
I
either.
Did, but we don't want dead air, so I guess we should just all say goodbye to everybody.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Holy cow. All right. Click out.